Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Chris Fleming is one of Variety Magazine's 10 comics to watch in 2019, and he hails from Massachusetts. He's become a YouTube sensation, amassing over 50 million views. He's back in town for a sold-out WBUR City Space show on Thursday, which makes you awesome.
Oh.
And he joins us in the studio, which you can watch from our Facebook page, Radio Boston.
Oh, dear God.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Tiziana, thank you so much for having me.
I'm
doing great. I feel so at home here at WBUR Studios because my mom blasts WBUR at like high school party volumes around the clock.
Excellent.
Like you can hear the bass of Robin Young's voice pulling up the street.
I'm going to have to go home to my kids and say, excuse me, where is the high school party level volume of your mother?
You know what I mean by that level? It's like,
I do.
Like police complaint.
But I want the woofer now, the boom, boom.
Well, that's, you can hear like Lakshmi Singh sometimes can get that in her voice. Like kind of like insane clown posse volumes.
So this is how much fun we're going to have for the next few minutes, which I'm really excited about.
Is Terry Gross around?
She is not based here, but I did notice. Let's just go there because you
her
named
sensory
one
deprivation
of your characters
tank.
Right after Terry Gross, the daughter of Gail Waters, your famous first character.
Yes.
Why did you name her after Terry Gross?
Well, Gail actually did that. The character Gail named her children Terry Gross Waters, and then Ira Glass Waters. because of her devotion to, of course. And I hear Terry Gross insists on doing her interviews in like on like at the sea floor. Like she needs to be like blindfolded, completely no senses, right? And her guests are like two states away. Is that true?
I don't know, but I will tell you that. So you're hearing me pause because the producer was saying into my ear, basically, sort of yes.
They were playing, before our interview, they were definitely playing that waltz that they were playing. That is the end of The Shining.
Yeah.
That's when they zoom in on Nicholson, and he's been there the whole time. That haunting waltz. Is that meant to isolate your guests and make them feel kind of like they're going
to
be in?
Actually, I think it's meant to soothe me so I don't go psycho at any point during the show.
But,
okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So, speaking of psycho, I do want to talk about your first character. You became famous, really, with this 40-episode series on YouTube starring about a woman named Gail Waters.
It didn't become successful till we were done.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We weren't appreciated at your time.
We had like the same like 50 fans in every state.
Mm-hmm.
Like one CVS branch in Tucson was really into us, and like we would. But then it didn't become it didn't really catch on till we had stopped, and now everyone's like, "When's the new episode?" And you know, we've since had to do other things.
So. For you, I want to say a couple of things first.
Sure.
Don't forget, you want to tune into this on our Facebook page, Radio Boston. You want to see this live.
You
this
must.
Is awesome.
Facebook is a new platform. It's incredibly hip. You might not have heard of it yet. It's not like overrun by the aunt militia like you may have heard. It is.
No, it still is.
It is. No, I know.
But I also want people to tune in because I think what I'm seeing from you in the studio, so you're not sitting in the chair, you're kind of doing lunge stretches and moving around and stuff while we talk.
I have all this boba tea surging through my veins right now.
It seems to kind of capture the energy of your characters. So with Gail Waters, here's one of the things. I just threw my pen.
Tiziana, just for those of you
apparently
not
apparently I
not
have
seeing,
a bunch of boba tea
just,
pulsing
just kind
through
of
me too.
Javelin threw a pen at me.
So I'm trying to stay on track here. One of the things that cracked me up about Gail Waters, her last name is Waters because her last name was Waters. Her husband's last name was Waters.
And she insisted on hyphenating.
Right, by God, she wasn't going to not hyphenate. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So where did the inspiration for this kind of disturbingly real but also over-the-top New England mom come from?
Sure. So I did Gail on my stand-up, and she was inspired by a lot of folks that I saw growing up. And one it kind of cemented as ideas do in a very just in a singular moment when I was in a Crate and Barrel and I saw a woman diving into a barrel of placemats and her legs were up in the air and she was just digging through these placemats.
She's swimming in placemats.
And yeah. And I was like, oh, this is it just kind of came from there. And
all
so
right.
Over the next couple of years, I developed that.
So let's treat our listeners to a little bit of Gail Waters. So you mentioned she has a daughter, Terry Gross Waters, who is in high school and preparing to take her SAT. And this video starts with Gail. Your videos, they start with this intense walk. She's pumping her arms with the little hand weights. And she's telling the camera about all she's done to prepare Terry Gross Waters for the test.
We've been prepping her for some time. Back in my second trimester, we hired an SAT tutor to go over some basic tricks and methods through my womb. Then, in the delivery room, we wrapped her in a Scantron sheet and gave her her first practice exam. The results were disappointing. I was devastated. Then one night when I was out peeping on Bonnie, I see that she's got her son a tutor for 3 nights a week, 3-hour sessions. So I grab Terry's tutor and I say, look,
Marty, I'm going to need you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on call.
Which then proceeds to her chaining this poor tutor to a radiator.
And very successful actor Maddie Carter-Ropel now.
Yes. And even after all that, she actually basically goes and takes the test.
She doesn't.
She doesn't even let her daughter take it.
Yeah.
Okay, you have referred to Gail Waters-Waters as a New England truth. Like, you didn't come up with her. She's just a New England truth.
Yeah, yeah. I just plucked her from a tree.
So, well, okay, but as a New England mother, I got to be like, what do you mean by that? Why are you saying that?
Well, okay, you know, I have elements of her in my psyche, too. It's not a gender-specific thing. It's fear of how you're seen in your community. That's what it is. That is the essence of it. And
there's
that's
also
what drove the character.
It seems, and correct me, but it seems like there's this competitive drive. Maybe that comes from insecurity, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's how I played the character, and I think that's what grounded me in the character is, and why I related to her so much is just that terror of how others perceive you.
That is so interesting because I took her as aggressive, but when you talk about her as being laced with fear, that's
She's very aggressive. I mean, I think she has a criminal record. I mean, she's very, very she's very dangerous, but it is fear-based.
All right, so you, in your comedy, in your work, you kind of elude and defy a specific identity. The word that's come to my mind several times in watching your work is you're kind
sexy.
Of a, well, okay, also that, although I have to admit the first one was shapeshifter. You're really a shapeshifter, both mm-hmm. in the types of comedy you do, the types of characters, how you present yourself.
Yeah.
Let's play something. This is a more recent video. This is from a video you did that came out in February. It's about grad students, and it focuses on grad student lifestyle.
Lovely.
Come on! Okay, let's start easy. Knock over your clean canteen. Now tell me about ghee.
It's an Indian butter, and it's the only thing I have in my fridge.
Mark yourself safe on Facebook, even though you're nowhere near the emergency. Yeah! Take one 40-minute tango class. Be the worst in that tango class. Now teach every first date from here on out how to tango.
So, A, what is ghee, and B, can you tango?
Ghee is an Indian butter, and that I know a lot of my friends' horrible boyfriends love to tell me about. And then, can I tango? No, I can't, but I wish I could.
So everybody in that video, that entire concept, and we had to play it for no other reason than I wanted the beat, right? That was awesome. It's full of pretension. It's full of not being who you are, but you seem to know exactly who you are, even if no one else does, right? No, it's not clear
Jim
that
Browdy
anyone else
asked me
could.
Who I am.
Oh, what did you tell Jim?
Well, do you know Jim?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I love Jim. I love the difference between Radio Jim and TV Jim.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about Radio Jim on this show. We only talk about TV Jim.
Well, yeah, TV Jim is a narc. Radio Jim knows how to have a good time. He had like an open Tommy Bahama shirt, and I think maybe like a Mike's Harder Lemonade.
I can promise my tea does not have any hard lemonade in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I think that the... I wrote down the words grad student shuffle, and my creative partner, Melissa, was like, oh, you should make like a, I don't know how I wrote that. And she was like, oh, you should do like a cha-cha slide dance about all of the problems that you have with the grad student archetype or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's a great thing. So that's what that was.
Yeah. Now, it does also strike me that it's about this kind of be the person that the moment requires, be insecure and therefore pretentious, be so...
Walk tall with radishes.
Yeah, right, with the green sticking out of the back. That's right. Are you incredibly secure or are you incredibly insecure? Where does this comedy come from for you?
Okay, you know, I've become very... My goal is always to become fluent in my own way or language. And once I've done that, I'm insecure about comparing myself to things that I've done. I'm like, I hope it's as good as that. I hope it's as good as that or whatever, living up to those expectations. So I kind of it's kind of like this own, in my own bubble of, but at least it's, I'm comparing myself to myself in that way. But I do feel, I think, quite secure and very satisfied in the in my tone and the way that I do things.
Awesome. Do you have inspirations? Were there people who inspired you? One of our producers wondered if you were looking at some old stuff by John Roberts on YouTube where he parodied his own mother, or maybe a Bo Burnham, or, you know, others from the previous YouTube generation.
Yeah, John Roberts is amazing. I was always very, Chris Lilly inspired a lot of Gail. Amy Sedaris inspired a lot of the way we shot the series. Robin Williams, of course. Stevie Nicks is a big inspiration of mine. Noel Fielding. Yeah, a lot of inspirations.
So one of the other things I noticed about your comedy, it comes across in a lot of different things that you do. We've talked about this identity thing a couple times here. It feels like your identity as a queer comedian comes out, but it doesn't feel like a central focus of who you are or what you do. And it also feels like whatever is the central focus of who you are or what you do, you then want to go on and do something else.
Yeah,
so let
like
me just get you to react to that.
I burn the formula every time I make something. I really revel in making things that no one's asking for. You know, I like to... If someone is wanting, I think that might be the nature of being anti-establishment. It's like when people like something, they're like, oh, we want more of this. I'm going to give them something completely out of left field. I think that's the way to make inspired work, to follow yourself and to not follow what David Bowie called the gallery. I don't know what he means by that, but never.
But you're sure you don't want any of
it.
So is there anything, since you move on, right? You just said, I want to do this stuff nobody asked for.
Yes. Burn the house down.
You've been at this a while. Is there anything you look back on now?
I've been at it a while, Tizian. I'm getting tired.
Is there anything in the stuff you have done that you've sort of moved on from that you'd like to go back and borrow or do again or redux or revise?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the door is always open for Gail, especially. I have so much love for Gail, but I just need to do it in the right way. That's the thing. Like, it's got to be the right production. We occasionally flirt with little live productions, vignettes or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'm always open to revisiting ideas. Ideas I look back, I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I ever pursue that one? And so, I look at it as a real rolling, cumulative process.
You're fearless, right? You're absolutely fearless. And you've even tiptoed into the political a couple of times. Let's listen to...
I don't know I do dry heave before every show, so I don't know how...
Okay, you seem fearless. Ooh. Let's listen to you parody Steve Bannon's 60 Minutes interview.
Wonderful.
Listen to me. President Trump is an attractive man. I've seen him. The liberal media portrays him as a 600-pound person. He's not. He's a 10-pound man. Tops. 10 pounds. Charlie, listen to me. He's 10 pounds. If he were an emotional support animal and you want to fly with him on Southwest, you could sit with him on your lap without having to put him under the seat. He's 10 pounds. 20 pounds. Tops. But the liberal media, they show you what they want you to see.
Okay, once again, you're cracking me up.
A raven then proceeds to fly onto Steve Bannon's arm.
So how did your fans receive this more political venture? And you haven't done one in a while. How come?
Well, I think, if I ever do something political, it's because I've been inspired by, like, the character or whatever. Like, Steve Bannon just decomposing on 60 Minutes was just too beautiful a thing to not. It was just so Tim Burton and nightmarish that I had to do something with it. I haven't done that, and that was 2017, I believe. I every year in this administration feels kind of like its own decade in a lot of ways, in that, like, comedically speaking, writing wise, I feel like it's so oversaturated with the quote unquote resistance, the attacks on him, that I feel like other people have that kind of on lockdown. And so I feel kind of inclined to kind of stay away from that because it's been so popular. But again, if something really blows my hair back with inspiration, like I will do it, but I just don't seek it out.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we've got about a half a minute left. Oh. So you're going to perform at City Space this week. I hear that it's new and you're not going to do it again. So sneak preview, what are people going to see on Thursday night?
It's called A Strange Mess. There's a lot of music, sketch. It was inspired by a time I was at a movie theater and I was trying to get into the movie theater and the usher said, I'm sorry, you can't come in here. There's a strange mess in there.
And did you ever find out what that was?
No.
All right. I suspect there are going to be a lot of faces pressed up against the glass at City Space. That's comedian Chris Fleming.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Who will be at WBUR City Space on Thursday for a sold-out show. Chris Fleming presents A Strange Mess. Thanks for joining us,
Thanks
Chris.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a blast. And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.